Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris.
Army Chief of Staff General Ray Odierno.
When we look at the missions maybe 3-4 years down the road, I think this relationship between conventional and special operations forces is going to be critical to that, so that we can provide what we might consider to be the important missions, developing other armies, building partner capacity, those kind of things, but also conducting counterterrorism operations around the world to protect ourselves.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
Agencies across the federal government are offering buyouts to employees. Is yours one of them? Check out Federal News Radio's buyout guide at federalnewsradio.com, search term buyouts.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Ellen Hemmerly. Ellen is the executive director of the BW Tech, the UMBC Research and Tech Park. Is that an accurate title?
It is, yeah. And it we refer to our park as BW Tech at UMBC Research and Technology Park.
Right, and I've been there now several times, and it's a very cool place with a lot of really good activity, and we're going to get into that. Today's show, like a show we did a couple weeks ago, is focusing on activity in Maryland on my side of the river and Ellen's side of the river, for that matter. Ellen, let's start with a little background on you, please.
Sure. I have been in economic development for about 20 years. In the Baltimore region. I moved here from Philadelphia, where I had done commercial banking and venture capital and real estate finance, and then came down to do economic development for the city of Baltimore, and then came to UMBC, where the BW Tech is really one of UMBC's ways to fulfill its economic development mission.
Okay. Now, when you came down from Philly to Baltimore, you came down as like a senior person in an organization that was really the city's first incubator, right?
Yeah, one of the programs. It was part of Baltimore Development Corporation, and one of the programs that they wanted me to run for them was starting their first technology incubator, and also to assess the venture capital fund that the city had started a few years before.
Cool. So that must have been kind of fun.
It was great. And, you know, Baltimore City is a really good place to learn the skills that an economic development professional needs.
Okay. Now, was that when Schaefer was mayor or governor?
It was actually when Schmoke.
Kurt Schmoke. Okay.
Kurt Schmoke was mayor for the city.
Okay. I remember Mr. Schmoke. I'm not a Baltimorean, but I am a Marylander lifelong.
Right.
And I love coming to Baltimore. I've been doing more and more of that recently, and my kids always preferred the aquarium and the science center to going down to D.C. So,
yeah, you know, Baltimore is a great place, yeah, I love it.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you're down here from Philly then.
Well, me too.
I don't have anything against Philadelphia, though. I have many friends there. But let's talk a little bit about what's going on at UMBC, and particularly the BW Tech and how that whole thing got started.
BW Tech, the activities, when we describe what we do at BW Tech, it includes incubation, facilitating tech commercialization, and also bringing in industry where there is a strategic value to both the industry and to the university in being co-located. And as I mentioned earlier, UMBC, as a public institution, does have an economic development mission. And so BW Tech is certainly one of the ways that we achieve that mission. BW Tech, the first incubator we started was a small life sciences incubator back in 1989, and then we dramatically increased our incubation activity when we purchased a facility with 165,000 square feet, which we now refer to as BW Tech South. And then in the year 2000, we started developing on another site, which is what we now refer to as BW Tech North, which is where our concentration of cybersecurity companies and activities are located.
Okay. Now, is that the building we met in?
That's one. Yes. Okay. We have five buildings here at BW Tech North.
Oh, okay.
And the building where we met, it has really started to be referred to as our cybersecurity building. We have 110,000 square feet, and all but one company are involved in cybersecurity.
What's the other company involved in?
It's an engineering company,
okay.
RMF, and they actually do get indirectly involved in some cybersecurity activities as well.
Okay. Now, there's been obviously a tremendous amount of activity in the cyber arena, and this, by the way, is Cybersecurity Month, I believe.
It is.
And University of Maryland, Baltimore campus?
Baltimore County, UMBC.
Okay. You guys are involved heavily, in part because of your proximity to Fort Meade and the radically increased activity there. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I would say it's really a combination of having a very fortuitous location. We are about 12 minutes from Fort Meade, and we are about 5 minutes to BWI Thurgood Marshall Airport. So both of those things really help establish us as a great location for cybersecurity companies. But we also have UMBC has a lot of resources that are very important to growing cybersecurity anywhere, but particularly in Maryland. And so because UMBC has always been very strong in information technology and computer sciences, and many of our faculty members have are doing research in the cybersecurity space, you know, we really have a lot of things going for us in terms of being a great place to grow cybersecurity in the state.
Okay. As far as proximity to the airport goes, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it's also really close to Amtrak. The BWI Amtrak station is right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I love taking the train when I can.
Yeah, and in terms of connection to D.C., certainly Amtrak is the way most people connect with us. But we're also finding, which is great to see, that many out-of-state companies are coming to our park, and they want to have a presence here. And so for them, the airport is really critical.
Well, the airport is critical, and the simple fact that your campus is about 3 minutes off of I-95, just south of Baltimore, mm-hmm. makes it really easy to drive to as well.
Yeah, it really does. We're very fortunate. And I guess the other thing that I'll mention, for some of the companies that we are supporting, especially the smaller companies that might be seeking some sort of advantage when they're pursuing federal contracting, we are in a federal hub zone. And I don't know if you're familiar with the hub zone certifications, Mark.
Sure.
But,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's another advantage that small businesses have when going after federal contracts.
It does, but it also has a residency requirement.
It does, and we're finding that 5 or 6 of our companies have either achieved certification or are close to. And so for the smaller companies, it's a little bit easier to achieve that certification for the larger companies, quite frankly. It really is not.
No, most large companies are not going to fill the bill on the hub zone. But, you know, that's it. I was surprised when I saw that about UMBC having that at hub zone designation because, you know, driving around there, number one, I don't see a lot of houses when I'm going to and from campus because I'm really just a couple minutes off 95 mm-hmm. and I don't go much further.
Yeah.
Unless I miss my turn.
Yeah. Well, there are quite a few residential neighborhoods close to us,
mm-hmm.
but I believe what really helps also when the census is done is that students who are living on campus are considered part of the resident count. And so that's really how a college campus is able to achieve this kind of certification.
Okay, well, we won't talk about that too much because we don't want them to change rules.
That's exactly right.
My guest today is Ellen Hemmerly. She's the executive director of BW Tech at UMBC Research and Technology Park. We'll be back after a break. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The Caps take on Southeast Division rivals, the Florida Panthers, on Tuesday, October 18th. The Caps are off to a good start, defeating two division rivals to begin the season. Caps games are always huge events. The fans are always pumped up and always have a great time. This is the hottest ticket in town. The Caps have sold out over 100 straight games at Verizon Center, and tickets are extremely limited, so make sure you get yours. Call 202-397-SEAT or log on to washingtoncaps.com/singletix and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 200 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, yes, John, but what does your company do? Well, my company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations to help improve the way they collect data. You may call it comprehensive data collection, data analysis, or even outcomes measurements. If your agency has any problems with collecting, analyzing, or displaying data, then please visit our website at armaturecorp.com. We can help.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week, Bill Bransford hosts a two-part show to learn about the latest with two organizations, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund and Young Government Leaders.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today, or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest and partner, John Dedon, trust and estates expert at Odin Feldman & Pittleman. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the full-service law firm of Odin Feldman & Pittleman, located in Fairfax and serving the entire D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about us, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Human Capital Management Federal is a highly anticipated training conference with over 300 delegates and key speakers, such as John Berry, Director of the Office of Personnel Management, John Sepulveda, Assistant Secretary for Human Resources and Administration at the Department of Veterans Affairs, and Michael Kane, Chief Human Capital Officer for the Department of Energy. The event is November 14th through 16th at the Sheraton National Hotel in Arlington, Virginia. Visit hcmfederal.com for more info and to register now. Mention code FNRHCMF to receive a 10% discount.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Ellen Hemmerly. Ellen is the Executive Director of BW Tech at UMBC Research and Technology Park. You can find them at www.bwtechumbc.com. And from there, you can find all of the information that we've been talking about. Ellen, every time I've been to a reception or a presentation at the park, there's always a lot of major contractors there. So who supports the overall activities there, the company supports as well as the state support? Because I've seen a lot of politicals there, too.
Well, yeah, it really is. The wonderful thing about these kinds of programs ours is a great example of a public-private partnership that really works. We certainly have political support from our governor, our county executive. As you know, Senator Mikulski is very supportive and interested in cyber, as well as Congressman Ruppersberger. And then also the economic development organizations in the state and the region view this as a key project to really move Maryland's cybersecurity strategy forward. And then, of course, the private sector, without whom we wouldn't have a program. We have support from some major companies like Northrop Grumman. Northrop Grumman is partnering with us on a program that's part of our cyber incubator, where we're focused on bringing innovative product companies into the incubator. And in those cases, the companies receive a full scholarship, so they don't have to pay for space, and they do get access to the Northrop Grumman technical folks and business development team. But we also work with other large companies. In our park right now, we have 25 cybersecurity companies. About half of them are very early stage or startup companies that are part of our incubator. And the other half are medium-sized companies that are coming out of our incubator, or larger companies like Telcordia, and I'd say a medium-sized company like RTGX. Mm-hmm. And so the larger companies and mid-sized companies are very interested in partnering with the smaller companies. And, of course, the smaller companies gain much value, not only in terms of mentoring, but in terms of partnering and getting business through the larger companies. And then we also have one of our intelligence agencies actually has a computer lab here as well. And so that's a great addition to our cybersecurity ecosystem that we're really evolving here.
So may I assume you've got some SCIFs on campus there?
We do, at the research park, not at the university campus.
Right.
But yes, we do.
Yeah, I don't imagine you need them on campus just yet. one would hope not, anyway.
Yeah, so, and actually the university does not. Their policy is to not have SCIFs on the campus, but at the research park, we are able to facilitate that.
Right. I want to go back to the political side a minute. I know I have not seen him there, but I know Ben Cardin, our other senator from Maryland, is very active in the small business side of doing business with the government. I've seen him speak several times on that, so I would assume that he is, or his office is, equally supportive of this program.
Yeah, and that's a great point. He is, and they are. And I think that politicians as well as economic development folks are really recognizing that It's the small businesses where the innovation happens, and it's going to be the small businesses that really move our economy forward.
I agree. I sit on the board of a small business that's peripherally involved in cyber, but more in the collaboration space. And, mm-hmm. You know, the things that they're doing, you know, really boggle my mind.
Yeah.
But I'm not a techie, so a lot of things boggle my mind.
That's right.
But there's something else going on. We mentioned that this is Cybersecurity Month nationwide, but in Maryland, we have the Maryland Cyber Challenge and Conference coming up, mm-hmm. and the website is MDC3.org. And I found out about this through one of the networking events at the park, the Research and Technology Park, a couple months ago. And I took stuff to my son in hopes that his school would participate, but give us some background on this. What's it going to be?
It is really just what it says. It's going to be a cyber challenge as well as a conference. And for the cyber challenge, teams can apply, and we've got high school teams, we've got college teams, and we've got professional teams. And the last I heard, there were about 60 teams that had committed, and it's going to be a very exciting, I think, challenge and game, and we will have winners and quite a few people. We're expecting hundreds of people to attend. The conference itself is October 21st to the 22nd at the Baltimore Convention Center.
Easy to get to, and parking available.
Parking is easy, and Baltimore is actually the convention center. If you know Baltimore, it's on the southern part of the city and very easy to get to.
Come right off 395 and you run into it.
That's exactly right.
Even I can't get lost.
So I would recommend anyone who is interested in learning more about cyber or who is already in the cyber field. I think it's going to be a great educational experience as well as a very excellent way to network with others.
Well, the mix of supporters here, we have SAIC, Cyber Maryland, UMBC, Tech Council of Maryland, mm-hmm. as your major sponsors there. So it kind of crosses the board. I mean, I know the state's right behind it because the governor's on the site, Senator Mikulski's right there on the site. And again, you're encouraging basically anybody with any level of technology to form a team and come down to high school and up, right?
Yeah, and I think it's also important that you know, I think we all understand that the future cyber security experts are going to be kids who get interested in it, many of them in high school, many of them in college. And so I think bringing everyone together, I think it's really exciting, and it's getting, again, a lot of support. And I've heard that we have many other corporate sponsors who are also signed up to help make this a success.
It's, the website is MDC3.org. It's going to be a very cool event, and even if you don't have a team, you know, you should go there. There's going to be a lot to do and a lot to learn, and networking should be good. And again, anywhere from high school students, college students, teachers involved in technology, and the companies, obviously, that support this activity,
mm-hmm.
Not just the big companies, but all those small companies that you mentioned. Give me some final thoughts on the UMBC BW Tech Research and Technology Park, please.
Well, I think my final thought would be come see us. We are always delighted to have people seeing what we're doing, visiting the park. One of the other things that we didn't mention directly is that almost all of our companies that are part of BW Tech have access to faculty and students. And again, almost every company hires interns. We have programs that can help pay for the intern's time. We have some wonderful networking, quite a few entrepreneurs who have grown companies successfully in the cyberspace who are available to work with our companies. And we have some really cool programs like the Cyber Hive and the Cyber Map. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're going to have Mark, Rick Garrett at some point on your show.
Right.
And if we don't have time today, Rick can tell you more about those programs. But those are available to companies who become part of our ecosystem.
Yeah, and again, it's very cool. You can find out about these through the BWTechUMBC.com website. You can also find information on LinkedIn through the Cyber Maryland group. And I always post the events in any of the Government Market Master groups on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Well, you know, they're worthwhile events, and I think most of the people in my groups are interested in these things. So always a pleasure. Ellen, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, and thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and I look forward to talking to you again.
You'll be back. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I will be back in just a few minutes.
There are barbecue double burgers with mayo and bacon and cheese. There are 60-inch HD plasmas with cinema surround and 3D. There are mandatory conference calls at 8 p.m. on Saturdays. There are really comfortable overstuffed sofas that recline and vibrate and have cup holders and coolers built right in. And there are people who will sneeze right out in the open as if their germs were made of gold and the rest of the world just can't wait to share. Ah! There are moments when it feels as if the whole world is conspiring against your health, which is why there is Kaiser Permanente. We can be a partner. We can be a friend. A voice of moderation in a world gone excess and insane. So the next time you're faced with the choice between a televised marathon of vapid vixens or the chance to get a little fresh air, visit everybodywalk.org and we'll be there to help you thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated. 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has an expansive and varied mission. What is Homeland Security's acquisition strategy? How is DHS enhancing its acquisition oversight? And what is DHS doing to better manage its resources and execute its overall mission? Join host Michael Keegan on the next Business of Government Hour as he explores these questions and so much more with Dr. Nick Nyack, Chief Procurement Officer of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
Tradition never graduates. Come spend a day in Annapolis with your family, friends, and Navy football. See the midshipmen in their homecoming game versus the East Carolina Pirates. Saturday, October 22nd at 3:30 p.m., Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium, presented by Verizon Wireless. Join us and experience a game day atmosphere like no other. Buy your tickets today for the Navy homecoming game and see the Mids take on East Carolina October 22nd at 3:30 p.m. Get the best seats now by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY or by logging on to NavySports.com.
Retirement is expensive, but dinner won't be because it's on me. Hi, I'm Mark Tabron, host of How to Protect and Grow Your Money on Federal News Radio. Join me for an informative dinner seminar at Rips Casual Dining on October the 27th in Bowie, Maryland. We'll talk about ways to help you disaster-proof your retirement. Call 1-800-783-1564 to make a reservation. Seating is limited, so call now, 1-800-783-1564. To learn more, listen Saturday mornings at 10:30 a.m. for How to Protect and Grow Your Money on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
Have you noticed it's getting darker earlier these days? Don't get concerned. Get Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security. Ackerman offers the latest in technology, including wireless monitoring and remote video. If you already have a system, you can switch to Ackerman's award-winning monitoring for just $18.95 a month. Just $18.95 a month. And it's free to switch. Call today and get 3 months of monitoring free. That's 888-999-1070 or online at AckermanSecurity.com.
Much of the world's energy usage goes toward heating or cooling our buildings, but that could change if engineers are successful at making the perfect insulator. The heat that warms your home travels, like sound, as waves.
They tend to penetrate everything. They propagate around. They hit things. They exchange their energy with the walls.
And then get released outside, says Ned Thomas, engineering dean at Rice University. So he's designing material with microscopic openings that precisely match heat wavelengths and cause them to get reflected backwards. Then
you might be able to keep the home pretty warm just with your own internal energy.
That's right, body heat.
Now it's a matter of figuring out the best set of materials and the best manufacturing processes to do these things.
In a sturdy, cost-effective way. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My second guest today is someone I haven't met yet, except via phone and via LinkedIn. Michael Wood is the president and CEO of Capital College. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Delighted to be here.
I'm delighted to have you because I've been hearing, oddly enough, you know, when we were swapping emails last week, I noticed for, I don't know why the first time, but Capital College advertises on Federal News Radio.
Yes, we do indeed.
So
good outlet, good source for us.
I would hope so, having looked into your website and a variety of your activities. But let's start off with a little bit of background on Mike Wood, please.
Oh, sure. Be happy to. I'm currently the president of Capital College. I came here through a professional career in academics and industry and business. Did my undergraduate work at Michigan, master's at Toledo, doctorate at Illinois in industrial and organizational psychology. I started out in the university setting, taught for a few years at The Ohio State University. And I got recruited away by one of my former professors to join the Battelle Institute in Seattle, Washington, where I worked for about 15 years on research and consulting on social change, science, and technology policy.
Battelle is a big government contractor.
It is indeed. And they had a human affairs research center out in Seattle where I was located for 14 years. Moved back to the Midwest in the mid-80s and worked with an organization called the Industrial Technology Institute, which sat on the University of Michigan campus but was not part of the university. And that's where we got into a lot of work on especially manufacturing technology and organizational development for small to mid-sized manufacturers in the Rust Belt. And then in the mid-90s, I got the itch to get back into academia and joined a business college in the Detroit area called Walsh College. Eventually became their chief academic officer, and in 2004 moved here to Maryland to lead Capital College.
How old is Capital College?
85 years. We were founded in 1927 in the city of Washington, D.C.
Holy. Well, there you go, Capital.
Yep. We were in the Capital. We were down at 16th and Park. We moved out of there in the 1960s up into Kensington and in the 1980s to our current campus in Laurel.
What is the scope of what Capital College offers? Because it's different than a lot of schools.
Yeah, it is. It is. I don't know whether it's unique. It's certainly rare. We're a four-year private independent institution of higher education in the state of Maryland. We're a fairly small but dynamic and growing institution. We have about 1,100 learners come through our doors each year. We're about half and half undergrad and graduate, and we're a very niched institution. We don't have all of the majors and programs that a Tier 1 university would have. We are focused on engineering, information technology, and business. And our signature programs here at the college have to do with cybersecurity, electrical engineering, managing information technology, and we have a pretty dynamic new MBA program as well.
Okay, so you, all business all the time.
good slogan. All business all the time. And the other key on this, Mark, is that when we think about the vision and what we're trying to accomplish through the college, it's a blending of those hard scientific disciplines and those associated with business and society. So one of the aspirations that we have among our goals is to help educate and develop the next generation of technology leaders. Leadership brings in the business side, technology brings in the science side.
There you go, and it just happens to be Cybersecurity Month, not just here in Maryland, but all over.
Indeed. We just had a major event here on campus where we had the Lieutenant Governor's Office and the BRAC people and people from Higher Education Commission in Maryland and Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, and several others this morning on campus helping us to celebrate that.
Yeah, it was funny because I mentioned to a few people over the last 3 weeks or so that I really wanted to to get in touch with Capital College. And, you know, the people at the Baltimore-Washington Quarter Chamber were all over that for me. Mutual friend of ours, Bill Holleran, PR pro that I've known for years and years, did an e-introduction for us. So, it, you know, all of a sudden, you know, everybody knows Capital College except Mark.
I'm glad you're in the loop now, and thank you for helping us to extend that reputation and knowledge. I do recall somewhat facetiously when I came here 7 years ago and asked the local bank tellers and gas station attendants what they knew about us, and it wasn't much. But hopefully through the good efforts of my colleague Megan and others and new friends like you, we're getting that word out and becoming more known and more reputable.
Well, again, you know, when we were talking the other day, you mentioned that one of your commercials actually won some kind of...
Yeah, the Marcom Gold Award.
Yeah.
We had a themed advertising campaign called My Dream, My School.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the subtitle there was not for everyone, but perfect for me. And it got a lot of good play. In fact, they may have expired, but at one point we had banners on the Metro cars on the Red Line, too.
Well, there you go.
Let's
talk a little bit before the break about the I guess there's no non-academic programs at Capital College.
Right.
But you have some, let's call them, non-degree programs?
Yeah, we provide degree programs. We provide degrees from associates through the doctorate. We just started our first doctoral program last year. And we also do what we call professional services, which is non-credit training and education for skill development, refreshers, preparation for national designations or certifications. You can think of it kind of like corporate or agency training. And we have seminars. Course modules, learning activities that might in many cases also count for credit towards your degree, but the primary purpose is to take them in a shorter dose and get some kind of credential or skill designation on your portfolio.
Okay. Now, as you probably know better than I do, professional certifications are growing rapidly.
Yes, and, indeed.
The importance of these is very high for corporate recruiters and other recruiters now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, MBAs, no editorial comment here, but, you know, if you have an MBA without a certification, it may not be as powerful.
Indeed. In fact, there was an article in the Post or one of our major newspapers just this past weekend on that, I think, in terms of the value of an MBA relative to certification programs and so on. And I agree wholeheartedly with you. They each have their purpose, and they can be blended nicely together. In our case, since we're primarily a technological education institution, we help people prepare to do specific work tasks or pass exams like the Certified Information System Security Professional,
mm-hmm.
so that they have more credibility and more value in the marketplace in their current or new jobs. The professional certifications and training activities, they're really nicely aligned with the full-time adult workforce now that's looking for a job or career change, too.
Okay. My guest today is my second guest today is Mike Wood. Mike is the president and CEO of Capital College. You can find them at www.capital-college.edu. Is that accurate?
You got it.
There you go. My name is Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Army is preparing to publish a new set of standards that will dictate what technology is allowed to operate on its network. Officials say the integrated network baseline will let the service do a better job of keeping up with the technology cycle by adopting common, open standards without dictating precisely what technologies they'll allow. The Army also plans to require any vendors who want to participate in its huge network integration evaluation to comply with the baseline.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology, information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Attention civilian employees of the intelligence community and the Departments of Defense and State. You could be eligible for affordable term life insurance from GEBA, the Government Employees Benefit Association, with coverage issued by Prudential. Learn more about this important benefit for government employees at GEBA.com/term life. That's GEBA.com/term life. Group term life coverage for GEBA is issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, 751 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07102. Contract series 83500.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Do you know us? You count on our technology every day. The office elevator that takes you up and down efficiently. The jet engine that gets you home safely. The fire suppression system you hope you never need, but know is there. You count on things we make to protect you from harm and even to keep you cool and comfortable. Our technologies are a critical part of your everyday life, yet many people don't even know who we are. Our name is United Technologies. We are Carrier, Hamilton Sunstrand, Otis, Pratt & Whitney, Sikorsky, and UTC Fire and Security. Six businesses united as one powerful company. In fact, we are one of the largest manufacturers in the United States, which likely makes us the biggest company you've never heard of, even though you depend on us every single day. United Technologies. Get to know more about us at UTC.com.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Government personnel must continue to achieve mission-critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates, if they are secure based on open standards and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Polycom.
This is Mark Amtower. For 27 years, I've advised hundreds of large and small contractors on the best marketing tactics to reach key government buyers and influencers. Collectively, my clients have made billions of dollars by maximizing the value of their contracts. If you need to maximize the value of your GSA schedule, GWAC, or IDIQ, or you need to raise your overall visibility in the government market, we need to talk. Make certain your marketing budget pays major dividends. Contact me at federaldirect.net.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Mike Wood. Mike is the president and CEO of Capital College. Mike, we were talking on the break about location, but earlier you mentioned that your groundbreaking in Laurel was from NASCAR to NASA. Mm-hmm. What's the connection with NASA?
Well, the connection is we do a lot of work with the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center. And, again, we are located very close to them, two exits away up the Baltimore-Washington Parkway. And we have a lot of affinity through our electrical engineering program, which was supported since 2003, I believe, by a grant from NASA to operate a Space Operations Institute here on our campus. So we actually have on the campus of Capital College a mock-up, a representation of a ground control station. And our students and our faculty actually fly Earth science satellite missions and transmit data from space to Earth. And we do that both at the facility at Goddard and here on campus. So we have a very vibrant operational institute for space operations, and that's been renewed, I think, twice already. We're about 9-10 years into the grant activity, and we're doing work on global precipitation measurement, tropical rainforest activities. We have a graduate student now who is using space science data from the institute to measure the glacier depletion in her home country of Peru. So we've got a lot of intriguing, exciting environmental and space science activities going on through NASA Goddard.
It's amazing because when I first took my son, who is now 14, to the Goddard Space Visitor Center, he's looking around at all of this stuff, and he looks up at me and says, "You know people here, right, Dad? Can you get me a job?"
Mm-hmm.
So when he hears this interview, Mike, he's going to want to play in your studio.
Invite him over. He's welcome. I'd be delighted to give him a demonstration. Maybe he'll want to partake.
Yeah, but the other thing we were talking about on the break is location. I mean, you're in Laurel, which just happens to be and right off the BW Parkway,
right?
Which just happens to be dead center between Baltimore and Washington. But more apropos for you, dead center between NASA and what else?
And the National Security Agency. A lot of the federal contracting organizations up and down the parkway that work with NASA and the NSA and others. So we have a very close presence with the federal and corporate partners that we have. I would also add that while location is important, we also do our educational works in the classroom and online. So we have students and participants from around the world who may not particularly care we're on the BW Parkway, but we do it both ways, and location certainly helps.
I would have to assume so. So, but, you know, NASA and NSA, number one, two of the coolest shops.
Yeah, they are. I'm still correct. I think NASA has the largest concentrations of engineers on any one site in the world, and the NSA has the greatest concentration of mathematicians. And we happen to be STEM educators in science, technology, engineering, and math. Natural fit.
Extraordinary fit, and you know, location. But you've got other things cooking there. I mean, one of the things that popped up on my radar for you guys was your involvement in sort of an offshoot of the cyber issue, which is information assurance.
Right. Yes, indeed. And we were one of the first 10 institutions in the country to be designated a Center of Academic Excellence in Information Assurance Education. And we've renewed that designation, I believe, 3 times now. You have to do it every 3 years. And each time we do it, we advance we raise the bar, if you will. We're one of a handful of institutions that's designated as having our curriculum advanced at the most advanced level in terms of mapping to the national standards. So in the information assurance arena, we started with a Master of Science in Network Security. That became a Master of Science in Information Assurance.
Mm-hmm.
We expanded it for our younger folks and put in a Bachelor of Science degree. And as I may have mentioned earlier, we just started our Doctor of Science in Information Assurance last year. And we currently have already 69 doctoral candidates, including 26 new ones this fall.
That's extraordinary. And it continues to grow.
Yeah, and in fact, that event I mentioned this morning, we did a demonstration for the public of our cyber battle lab. We got some support from the state of Maryland and from some corporate partners to outfit an expanded computer lab, which allows for offensive and defensive hack and counter hack exercises among our students and faculty.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've seen the bulletin board on I-95 near Baltimore, there is a major competition at the Baltimore Convention Center on October 22.
And
our student team is
going
to be one of the finalists.
Oh, cool.
So,
very cool. I was going to the Maryland Cyber Challenge.
You got it. We're in there. We're one of the 8 finalists, and we'll be at the convention center on the 22nd.
MDC3. It's odd because the first half of the show I was talking to Ellen Hemmerly of UMBC, BW Tech.
Right.
And they're the educational sponsor of that, and it's very cool that you guys are there, and I wish you best of luck in that final, because that's going to be some kick-butt competition.
You bet, like an NCAA Final Four. The other thing I would mention, since you mentioned Alan, is that one of our grants for our cyber activities allows my faculty and students here to collaborate with the other five centers of academic excellence throughout the state. So we're working with UMBC and UMUC and Towson and some of the others to do some shared best practice activities together.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, because I know you're a private school, and I know they're all part of the University of Maryland system.
Right.
So I love it when we're doing things together in Maryland. One of the reasons I'm doing this show and will continue to do shows like this is to highlight the activities that go on in my home state.
Right. And we appreciate the opportunity to play on the same field.
Hey, you know, I'm just so happy to find all of these really cool things going on my side of the Potomac.
Yeah, indeed.
Give me some news on what's on the horizon for Capital College. You had 1,100 people coming through.
Right.
Does that include the onlines?
It does. Okay. And we're growing. In fact, we're expanding. We'll be looking at developing new residence capabilities and new academic buildings here on campus. We had a 12% growth in undergraduate enrollment this year. I don't know whether booming is an appropriate word, but we are definitely experiencing some good growth of our enrollment and expansion of our programs. And we like to think of ourselves as an academic institution that's very focused on society and the marketplace and job and career placement. And so we're always looking at the program pipeline, what we've got coming down the pike and what might be new in the future. And I can't commit to what our newest programs are going to be, but we have studies underway to look at new offshoots of computer science and cybersecurity and electrical engineering. So I would suspect within the next couple of years you might see another two or three new programs at the undergrad and graduate level.
Mm-hmm.
We've also just recently launched our Innovation and Leadership Institute, which is an entity designed to bring the curricula from engineering and business together, and also to provide a platform and an opportunity for the public to learn more about what's going on in engineering and business through a President's Forum, where we have national leaders come to campus and speak, and we have a speaker series for our students. And we also have that small publication activity I told you about.
Mm-hmm. We didn't go there. We talked about that in between. So talk about that for a minute.
Well, the ILI, or the Innovation and Leadership Institute, one of its objectives is to share best practices and learn from other institutions and get the word out through white papers and books and publications. And we just recently completed the third in a series of three paperback books related to innovation and leadership. The first one had to do with practical leadership and strategies for innovation. The second was one I wrote called Telecommunication Pioneers, Innovation, Leadership, and Education. And the third one, hot off the presses, is a book on discussions of leadership theory and practice, co-edited by the dean of our business school, Helen Barker, and my vice president for advancement, Michael Gibbs.
Ah, I've been swapping emails with Michael, too.
Indeed. So. Indeed. He's a prolific fellow also. As I indicated earlier, I'd be happy to share copies of those books with you.
Well, when we get together, I will certainly take you up on that.
Right. And the other thing that's nice about it, too, is that we had some renowned speakers on campus just today, and we try to do this at least two or three times a semester. We had Deborah Plunkett from the NSA on campus recently. We had a gentleman speak to us about value engineering. We've had several speakers who are of interest not only to our faculty and students, but to the general public. So we try to get the word out to advertise when those are going to be and invite folks to come and listen and participate.
Cool. Very cool. Final thoughts, please.
As a matter of fact, I can do a promo for one coming up on October 26th.
There you go.
The former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, Robert Lentz,
mm-hmm.
is going to be our speaker at a President's Forum here in the morning of October 26th.
Okay, and give the physical address for the school.
11301 Springfield Road, Laurel, Maryland, 20708.
Okay, and you're how far off the parkway?
You get off the Powder Mill Road exit, you come east one street, you'll see a Capital College sign, you turn north on Springfield Road, it's about three-quarters of a mile up the road.
There you go. That's pretty easy to get to. Mike, thank you very much for joining me today.
Mark, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. Best wishes to you, and I'm delighted to help spread the word about Cybersecurity Awareness Month and Capital College and all the good things we might do together.
And good luck with the Cyber Challenge.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Tell your team I'm pulling for them.
I'll do that.
My guest has been Mike Wood. Mike is the CEO and president of Capital College in Laurel, Maryland. I'm